Bobby Connor for South Carolina Public Radio with Health Focus here at the Medical University of South Carolina studio in Charleston. 5.7 million Americans are living with heart failure, and about 10% of these individuals have advanced heart failure. To talk about options and treatment for advanced heart failure is Dr. Thomas DeSalvo. He's a cardiologist, professor of medicine, and director of cardiology at MUSC. Dr. DeSalvo, what exactly is advanced heart failure?
Patients with advanced heart failure typically have had many years of signs and symptoms of chronic heart failure, exercise limitation, and shortness of breath. And they've also usually been treated for quite a period of time with standard therapies. And despite those therapies in appropriate doses, they're still highly symptomatic. They've often been treated with pacemakers or specialized pacemakers that try to resynchronize the contracting function of the heart. But despite those efforts, they remain in a very limited functional capacity.
When heart failure actually progresses to this advanced stage, what are the treatment options?
Assuming that patients have had a diligent attempt to adjust their medications and their devices, in many patients, there comes a time when replacement of the heart or support of the heart with some sort of mechanical device is actually important to consider and discuss. Not all patients are candidates for those devices. Patients have to be free of other medical conditions and have to be suitable candidates with enough support at home. But in general, over the last 20 years, there's been more of a impetus on providing mechanical solutions to heart failure, including the implantation of left ventricular assist devices. That can be done either as a bridge to a heart transplantation or the absence of transplant as an option.
And how common is it that people are having these mechanical assist devices implanted?
They're becoming increasingly common. So there are thousands and thousands of patients around the country each year that have implantation of these devices. The devices are still in a somewhat formative stage of their evolution. The companies that manufacture the devices, along with those of us to investigate and do research in the devices, are leading to improvements on a yearly basis. And it's anticipated that in the years to come, the devices will not only be more reliable, but will be free of some of the side effects that can include infections and strokes and bleeding.
It sounds like tweaking the medicine is often the first line of defense. Does that sometimes work?
It does sometimes work, and it's absolutely crucial that a patient have a trusting and longstanding faithful relationship with a care team. This is a chronic illness that requires fidelity on the part of the patient and the providers to get the medications correct, both in the type of medication and their adjustment. It's really a commitment on the patient to do self-care and self-monitoring. Even with that vigilance, though, most patients do progress to a phase where they need something other than medications alone.
Dr. DeSalvo, this sounds like a serious heart condition, and I'm wondering how patients can best approach their doctors to talk honestly about these options that you're talking about.
What's very important is to avoid crisis management in an anticipatable illness like this. Often we don't, as cardiologists, have the discussions early enough with patients to really define their preferences and to define what's the best pathway for them. You can frankly never have those conversations too early.
Dr. DeSalvo, thank you for providing this information about advanced heart failure.
Thank you, Bobby. It was a pleasure.
From the Medical University of South Carolina studio in Charleston, I'm Bobby Connor for South Carolina Public Radio.